It is 5:15. This is Galesburg's Evening News. I'm Will Stevenson. Knox County Clerk is Scott Erickson, as you've heard, is here, not because of the catchy bumper music we use on this program, but because Scott has been a part of a task force in the state that's been working on election safety, especially as we think the Russians got in and screwed up all of our voter rolls, especially here in Knox County.
Oh, no. Yet.
Oh, that's not it? That isn't what happened? Well, no, and there was a press conference a couple of days ago involving a couple of area county clerks, and since we weren't there, we brought one of the subjects of said conference here. Thanks for coming in.
Appreciate it, Will. Thanks for having me.
We've talked a couple of times about election security and the work that you've been working on since then, and here we are a couple of weeks out from an election again. For lack of a better question, what's new? Are we continuing to work on ways to get it secure? Are we just assuring the system secure now? Where are we at with this?
Well, they're always working. I mean, cyber is just like your computer. It always is changing. There's always something new. And just when you think you've got a handle on it, something new pops up. So part of what the press conference was that we had in Tazewell County dealt with kind of the new innovation that they came up with the Cyber Navigator program through the Illinois State Board of Elections. It's kind of we call them kind of like the field generals. They're out there to kind of help us as election officials prepare for security issues. And the first phase of this operation is they're going around and talking to the counties and the election offices about their software, about their hardware, about their cyber security plans, initiatives, what they do, what they don't do, to kind of get an idea of what they need to improve on.
So what do we know about your system, the systems you use? And again, we're talking about the election system outside of the city of Galesburg, because of course, let's not get started on the separate city election office, because that's a whole other discussion for another show. But in terms of your systems for the rest of the county, what do we know about that? And what is the system as good as it's going
to
get?
We like to think that it's safe. We like to think it's secure. We went through our cyber security review. We have not had our post interview yet with the cyber navigators yet to kind of get their idea and feeling of things. But with the meeting we had with them, I have a pretty good feeling with what they're going to come up with is that we're doing pretty well with making sure we're locked down, secure, the computer networks are safe. We're not allowing traffic and things on it that shouldn't be there. And then about awareness, making sure that people not only in the elections office but in all the county offices are kind of aware of different things that could happen by clicking on a little innocuous email could open up a huge catastrophic disaster into the computer networks.
Things that sound on the surface pretty simple, but I guess when you go through, day-to-day work and things like that, you're maybe not always keeping some of that sort of thing top of mind, right?
Oh, right. These cyber criminals are smart. They try to work on things and to make it look like it's a legitimate email. And as they improve and hone their craft and make these emails look more and more like a legitimate email. So you've always got to be kind of aware and have that in the back of your mind. Does this email look legit? Would this person who says they're sending me a request for an invoice really be sending me a request for an invoice? And it looks kind of weird. Maybe I'm going to put this on to our IT people to have them look into it.
And, that's the thing about it, I think, because, while some of these things can look pretty legit and turn out not to be, there are also emails that even I get that are just you take one look at it and you can immediately tell that it's suspicious at best.
Oh, right, absolutely. But if in the course of a business day, if you've got a lot of emails coming through your, I've got a ton of emails that come through my email server of things for everyday business from all different sources and all different things. And if you're not paying attention and not being aware, and you're just starting to get real click happy, and you start clicking stuff and opening these things up and not paying attention, and oops, I accidentally clicked on this this link that now was put in all this malware into our network, and holy cow, now the lights start flashing and the computer starts melting, and now it flashes on the thing. You've been cyberjacked, and now you've got to pay $1 million in Bitcoin to get your computer back. And yeah, it's bad. It could be very bad.
Is the concern of election officials that if something could could be compromised, that it could end up spreading to like other departments in a county or something like that?
It could. I mean, a lot of the counties, every county is different. From the small counties to the larger counties, they all have different scopes of what their IT departments and what their computer infrastructures look like. So a smaller office may not necessarily be as prone to an email attack because they know all the people that'd be emailing them. Whereas a Cook County elections office would never know necessarily all these people to be emailing them. So there's the threat things with that. But a lot of it is, the majority of the election equipment and voter rolls and things like that are safe. And that's the big thing we want to push out there, is that your votes are safe. Your election equipment is safe. The election authorities are doing their best, and they're giving them their best effort to make sure that everything is safe and secure. It's combating against a lot of this, I hate to say it, but the fake news, the fake information out there that are people are trying to disseminate something that we talked about at the conference. McLean County had a Twitter feed that went out on election day saying that they were running out of ballots. So if I got the Twitter feed that said, oh, the polls are out of ballots, I'm just not going to go vote, when that wasn't actually the case. Now they have suppressed those voters and have legitimately affected the results of that election, because that person might have come out to vote if they hadn't gotten this fake text that said, oh, you know, hey, we're out of ballots.
Color me skeptical, and as a member of the fake news media, as you know, Scott.
I use that with quotes.
I know you did, and God love you for that, because others in your party might not be so kind. But could that really happen in Bloomington, and people actually believe that a polling place was out of ballots?
It truly has actually
and that
happened.
People would just take it at face value that that's what happened?
You could. I mean, people's lives are busy, and if you're living off of your Twitter feed, you're living off of your Snapchat feeds, and some of the stuff comes in there, and you're looking, oh, crap, the ballots are out. You know what? I was on the fence about whether I'm going to go to vote or not now. The ballots are done. I'm just not going to go.
You know, this is just a random thought that went through my head, but... But we were kidding earlier about Sangamon County Clerk's Don Gray's selfie station at at your early polling place in the Sangamon County complex in Springfield. But it strikes me that if it's just that simple to put out something like, say, on Twitter or whatever, that, you know, your polling place is out of ballots, what's to say that something like, you know, the polling election day selfie station isn't problematic too, I guess.
Right. I mean, you get that you get all kinds of aspects of those things.
Yeah.
And it's the information out there, and we live in a fast-paced world. 20 years ago, you wouldn't have the problem like that if someone had said, oh, it's all word of mouth, and it wouldn't spread as fast. Now, a rumor or an innuendo can spread like wildfire with the advance of social media. Everybody's got a smartphone on their hip, in their purse, whatever it is, and in a blink of an eye, you now have a massive blast of misinformation that most of the people aren't going to believe. But you might get the few people that are in passing, oh, crap, I saw that they're out of ballots, not think much of it, tell their friend, you know, hey, I heard the county's out of ballots again, and then boom, 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 it now spreads, and it turns out that the rumor ends up that I've never ordered enough ballots ever, and we only had 3 ballots for the whole county, and then you get into the crazy spins of that. And,
hey, I was there the election where Don Gray allegedly didn't have enough ballots in some wards, but that's another discussion for another day.
But that adds legitimacy to that. I mean, my friend in Adams County, they actually had a situation where they truly did run short on ballots.
And I think it was that same special election.
Where
Darren LaHood got elected to Congress, but go on.
It was that special election which caused him problems. It was his first election out. I mean, he's a great guy, and they've put in fail-safes now to protect that. But with that being a legitimate news story, now if someone puts out something, you know, hey, these ballots have been run out, people could remember, you know what, hey, 10 years ago, that actually happened. Maybe it's true this time. So we're encouraging people that, I mean, if it sounds crazy, it probably is crazy, and to contact those election authorities, and we'll give you that straight talk, that face-to-face communication back and forth.
I'm full well short on time, but at this point I don't care, because this is your show as much as mine now, Scott. I kid, of course, but we are close to the April 2nd election. Have you had a lot of early voting and things like that?
It's been slow. This consolidated election is the smallest of the election cycles. Early voting's been slow. Election day will probably be a lower turnout. Usually you're looking at around the 10 to 15% turnout for these type of elections.
So. I was afraid you'd say that because I knew how optimistic a lot of people were here after the midterms here last November, where we saw ridiculously high, all things considered, numbers. But there's the skeptical part of me that knew that we'd never be able to sustain that. But, you know, how do you, I guess I just don't know how you make these sorts of maybe off year or maybe not municipal elections, how to make them more attractive to people to get out and vote as much as the midterms did.
Right. It's a big thing. It's all about the public perspective of it. Mm-hmm. The smaller elections for the school boards, the municipalities and things, the candidates don't have a big bankroll to spend money advertising on the radio station or putting yard signs up and doing different things.
Oh, we'll make their advertising affordable here.
Yes, I know you will, absolutely. But they don't spend a lot of money on advertising, whereas in a presidential year, in a statewide election year, you've got yard signs, you've got advertisements going, you've got all these things going, which it stirs in people's minds, oh, no, okay, that triggers, hey, I got to go out and make sure I vote.
And all that campaign spending, it seems like it's just going to make it, you know, based on what you just said, make it all that worse for local elections.
Yeah, it just when they don't see all these things out there, you'll see a few yard signs through town now for some of these races. But a lot of the races in these odd year elections are uncontested. So all the candidates that are on there are going to get in. That's great. We love that the candidates are there because a lot of times it's tough for them to find candidates to fill these spots.
I think I have a couple of contested races for the East Galesburg Village Board, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, you do. Yes, East Galesburg's a couple of our contested races. So
there you go.
Make sure you get out and vote. And East Galesburg, well, there's a high probability that they will turn out a lot more than that 15%, which is great because if we've got a contested race, we just want people to turn out.
Remind me to ask you that on election night about voter turnout, specifically in East Galesburg.
I will try to remember to pull that specific precinct for you and give you the update.
I appreciate that. If folks are looking to vote and want to do so early, talk a little bit about that process.
The early voting is actually open now. You can come into the county. If you live outside the city of Galesburg, you can come here to visit the county clerk's office, 8:30 to 4:30 Monday through Friday, and we will be open not this Saturday but the following Saturday,
okay,
9 to noon. You can still request mail absentee ballots if you're going to be unavailable and you can't make it in to see us in person. You can still send us a request. We can get you a ballot mailed out to you. As long as we get that postmarked by election day, we can still get everything to count. But we want to make sure that we get – and the voters that are interested in voting and want to vote, we're going to do what we can to make sure they do get that vote in.
I guess, and too, there's the practical side of me that likes to know that taxpayer money is spent as in the best way as possible. And it seems like, you know, when you have elections like this, that's a lot of money spent for very little result, and there's not much you can do about it.
Right. No, there's not a lot. If you go back and crunch the numbers of your voter turnout versus your cost for elections, that cost per vote for consolidated elections is exorbitantly high.
So when I go in and vote early for the in the Great East Galesburg Village Board election, that's going to be like a $5,000 vote, isn't it?
It could be, but it's worth it because these elections are important.
And yes,
from $5 to $5,000, we don't care what it costs. We want to make sure that you get your vote out there and get your vote counted.
As we talked after the November election, too, I think the good news is we're going to have a brief respite where we won't have another election for a while. Although, heaven forbid the campaigning hold off for a bit.
No, yeah. Well, after this election, we'll get maybe after everything's been wrapped up, we might get a month of kind of lull time. I hate to say that out loud, but we might get a little bit of a lull. But then they'll start circulating for the 2020 election, the sprint or the summer, and then Katie bar the door. It's going to be a crazy, wild roller coaster ride.
Yeah, we already have, especially for the primary election, we already have 900 Democrats running for president, and I imagine we might have more than one Republican running, but time will tell.
Yeah, it's crazy.
One more question while I'm thinking of it in terms of security. You mentioned that you haven't gotten your post interview where you're going to get your hand wrapped with the ruler or whatever. How soon do you expect that, and where do you go once you get that?
Once we get the results back, they're going to kind of give us some ideas of what we can do. And then there, as part of this program too, there is some federal grant money that was included that is participating in the Cyber Navigator program. We now have access to some of this grant money. It's based on voting population and things. So there's not going to be a lot of money that we'll have access to, but it'll help us offset some of the costs if we need to upgrade a particular software package for the elections, or a server here, server there, different things. But they'll kind of give us ideas. You know what? Hey, you guys are really strong here. You're kind of strong here, and you're very weak in these areas. You may want to focus on spending that money in these weaker areas, just to kind of bolster our defenses.
I imagine it's one of those things, though, where as soon as you think you might have the problem solved, then something new comes up that you kind of have to figure out a solution.
Oh,
to.
Yeah,
that's kind of like the constant app updates on my phone kind of remind me of that. That
absolutely,
you know, as soon as you think you have it done, then you start all over again.
Oh yeah, no, and that's just being prepared, and that's what we've talked about at these cybersecurity conferences and the different things, is being aware and then being prepared. Prepare as much as you can for the unexpected. If this crazy thing happens, what am I going to do? Who am I going to call? Who am I going to reach out to? How do I respond? And just having that in your back pocket makes the panic and the crazy on election day, which is already crazy and busy anyway, mm-hmm. but to throw a cyber incident into that could just make it go extremely crazy. But being prepared is the biggest thing.
Did you ever imagine you have to be dealing with issues like this when you first became county clerk?
It was, yeah. I mean, back then, when I first became county clerk, we were still in punch card.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I had my first election ever as county clerk was punch card. My second election, we went to the optical scan. Two elections after that, we went into the touchscreen machines. And then it's crazy. All the new modern technology they've got out for the voting systems now that take images of it and do all this stuff. It's crazy.
I hate to sound so get off my lawn-ish about it, but gosh, the technology is both a blessing and a curse, isn't it?
All right. And yeah, you've got presidential candidates now talking about taking a step backwards and going all paper ballots. And there's pluses and minuses to that both. But yeah, it's just being aware and being up to date and being ever vigilant.
Maybe if you could go to a paper ballot, but then have a really quick way to count it so that you're not spending forever and a day tabulating votes, that might not be so bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no dimpled Chads, no hanging Chads on these things anymore. So
nothing named Chad, even.
Yeah, no, we'll let Chads on the ballot. But
do we have any Chads on the ballot?
Yeah, I don't know if we do or not this time around. I'd have to.
How could you not know? I'm kidding.
Oh, man.
Knox County Clerk Scott Erickson, great perspective, and I know you've been working hard on this along with everything else you've been doing. Thanks so much for your time, and thanks for coming in.
I appreciate you having me, Will. Thanks a lot.